You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. A new book aims to document oral histories of Central Valley farm workers. It's called Chasing the Harvest, Migrant Workers in California Agriculture, and it's edited by Gabriel Thompson, an independent journalist who's written for the New York Times, Harper's, Mother Jones, and other publications. He joins us now. Gabriel, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of this book and some of the people that you talk about and hear their stories, let's learn a little more about where this project came from. How did the idea to collect these stories come about?
You know, I've written about California farm workers and farm workers around the country for probably the last decade. And I actually had the chance to work in the lettuce fields of Yuma, Arizona for a couple months back, almost a decade ago. And so I've always been fascinated by farm workers and their lives. And I think one of the reasons that I was drawn to doing an oral history book about California farm workers is that it allows, oral history in particular, allows for a more expansive conversation in which you really get to know people's lives, not just in the fields, but beyond the fields, how they got there, how they feel about the work. One of the things I found that was constraining about doing journalism around California farm workers was that I was always writing about problems, and there are plenty of problems that farm workers face, from wage theft to pesticide poisoning, but it was just one slice of people's very complicated lives. And so the oral history idea was a chance to really have longer conversations and have people talk not just about problems, but about joys as well.
So how did you find the people that you eventually featured?
Some of them were people who I had met during previous reporting projects and assignments and said, you know, man, I would love to go back. And, you know, there's people that you meet, and you just know you'd like to spend more hours with them, and you just don't have space to do that for whatever assignment you're working on. So I had a list of people. I also got a lot of help from organizations like California Rural Legal Assistance, which works with California, with farm workers up and down the state, and United Farm Workers as well, put me in touch with some people. And then there was a grower organization, so the sort of the farmers who employ the farm workers also put me in touch with someone. So I was able to, combination of my previous contacts and reaching out to folks who are working with farm workers day in, day out.
So tell me a little more about some of the people that you talked to that perhaps stood out the most for you in this looking back.
One of the people I really was, you know, struck by, you know, so it looks in, there's very different valleys. So there's the Salinas Valley that I include, the Central Valley. There's the Coachella Valley. One of the people is a man named Roberto, who, when his son was 15, working in the grape fields in Bakersfield, nearly died from a heat stroke. And his son was in a coma for a number of days. And Roberto had, you know, spent many years working as a farm worker up to then, sort of just going along, doing the work quietly. But that episode, he had tried to get his son help in the fields and felt like he wasn't really listened to by the foreperson, really galvanized him to become an activist and testified back. This is in support of stronger heat regulations for California farm workers, and really sort of sent him on his journey as a farm worker, but also an activist. And so I felt, you know, there's a lot of stories like that in which he now actually takes his, although he's been prevented from doing this currently, but he would take his phone to the fields and make videos of him and his coworkers working and post them online to share with people, because he wanted people to get a better sense of who was feeding them, and to share the stories of what the work was like. And so in many ways, I think of Roberto as someone who perfectly illustrates what I was hoping to do with this book, which is to take these stories that are remote from most consumers and make them real in a way, sort of invite farm workers into your living room for a couple hours so you can hear their stories.
Was it challenging getting them to open up in some cases?
Actually not. That was a real surprise to me. You know, at the end of a lot of these conversations, you know, these are 3 or 4 hour conversations. And when I would leave, a number of people would say, wow, I never had told anyone about this thing I just mentioned. And so I think a lot of people, and I was not always coming, you know, a lot of folks I didn't hardly know at all. I just had one reference, but people had just these sort of unbelievable stories, as intriguing and complicated and full of, you know, triumph and also sorrow as anyone else. And so it wasn't. The one thing I definitely have found, though, going back, is that I did most of these interviews last year, and there's a number of undocumented immigrants in the book. And when I asked them, do you want me to change your name? You know, said, no, we're not worried about it. It's fine. But when I circled back to them in December, you know, after the presidential election, after the talk of the wall and deportation forces, to double check that they were still okay using their name, everyone wanted to have pseudonyms put in. So I think being an undocumented immigrant is never easy. There's always a level of uncertainty, but now I think that the climate is, as I've gone back and met up with people after the books come out, there's a lot more fear.
This is truly a multi-generational collection. You talk to people ranging in age from 17 to 77. What sorts of different experiences, how did things change? How do you see change in the lives of these people? Have things changed greatly? And if so, how? Or maybe some things constants in their experiences?
Yeah, there's less moving around now, I think partly because people feel more exposed as they travel. You know, when you move from parts of the state to other parts of the state, you know, in the chance that you might be picked up by immigration agents or a traffic stop increase. So there's less moving around, but people still do migrate quite a bit. I think one of the real themes that runs through most of these stories, and that doesn't change, is that parents both want their children to not work in the fields, to have more opportunities than they did, but also want their children to understand and to appreciate the work that's done in the fields. And so there's a number of parents who in their stories talk about how important it was to bring their 14, 15, 16-year-old out into the fields and work with them for several seasons in the summer. Not because they hoped that they would, you know, stop studying, but quite the opposite, that they would understand that that the future that they had laid out in front of them, if they would apply the same work ethic of their parents to the classrooms, was a really bright future. And one of the narrators in the book, who's just finishing up her senior year in college right now, is saying that after one day of working in the grape fields in the vineyards, that was the most important educational experience of her life, because she finally had a better understanding of what her parents had gone through, and also the ways in which she was blessed in ways that she hadn't been fully aware of before.
Now, you're not a newcomer to farm worker issues as a journalist covering these stories for years, but doing this project and spending so much time with these people and hearing the totality of their stories and their lives, was there anything in particular that you learned, something that surprised you, that you walked away with after doing this project that you didn't have going into it?
I think one of the things that really comes through, and this is, you know, going to seem very counterintuitive or bizarre, I think, for some people who think of farm workers as just, you know, the super exploited or miserable, working for low wages mass of people, is that I was really just struck by how much people often enjoyed the work. That doesn't mean that, you know, with all jobs, we don't always enjoy the work. And it's certainly extremely difficult and arduous, and you're in the elements, and you're working long hours. but that there was a real sense of camaraderie in the fields. There could be that the crews often became something like second families. Often the crews actually were filled with family members of the people who were sharing their stories. And that farm work was, for some people, a real bedrock for them. It was a place they came from extreme poverty in Mexico, and working in the fields was a way for them to sort of reach a new level of stability and as a sort of launching pad for their kids to then go from impoverished parents to sort of college graduates who could go on to have professional careers. But I think what was striking was how consistently people talked about not just the struggles, and there are plenty of struggles that each person deals with in this book, in the fields and in their lives, but the joys. And there's a couple of people who was in the book who are former farm workers. So they've gone on to do other things. But there's this real nostalgia for their time working in the fields, for the sort of egalitarianness of the work and the fact that people really looked out for each other.
Now, you're doing a lot of events across the state as part of this project. The book is out now. And how can people find it and find out more about you and where you'll be?
So it should be in bookstores, and you can always go and request it in bookstores if they don't have it. And you can also get it on any of your online places like Amazon or Powell's. And if you go to the publisher's Voice of Witness, they have a page set up for Chasing the Harvest, is the name of the book, and that shows all the events. And we'll certainly be – we've done events in several of the agricultural valleys across the state, and we will be coming back. Definitely we'll be doing events in the future in the Bakersfield and Fresno areas.
We'll look forward to that. Again, the book is called Chasing the Harvest, Migrant Workers in California Agriculture, a collection of oral histories of people who worked in California's fields and continue to work there in their lives. Journalist Gabriel Thompson is an independent journalist who's written in the New York Times, The Nation, Mother Jones, and others, and is the editor of this new book. Gabriel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.